All right, here we go. Hey, everybody, my name is Kyle McCaffrey, and you're listening to the Hero Bells Podcast, episode 26. And today is a continuation of this series I'm doing on mastery, self-mastery in particular, and even more specifically, finding your life's task. And I'm reading from the book Mastery by Robert Greene. And analyzing it, giving you my thoughts and a little bit of poetry and prose, maybe. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story. Anyway, but if you're not following me on Instagram, please do so. And of course, YouTube. And of course, Facebook. On YouTube, you can get all the full episodes of the podcast. You might only hear a clip on Instagram. You can just search Hero Bells, and there's all sorts of workouts, challenges, and tutorials there for you, along with this podcast, so you can get the most out of your training. The best part is all that shit's free. So go ahead and use it up. And please comment, subscribe, like, don't like, I don't care. Actually, I do care. Tell me why you don't like it. You can say, this sucks, and I don't know. Say something mean about my mom. I don't care. She doesn't either. But you can follow me on Instagram. The handle is at @hero_kbells. And you can follow me on Facebook, or the Facebook page for Hero Bells, where you can get supplementary materials to each episode, well, almost each episode. And you can get useful tips and infographics, questionnaires, things like that, so that you can take the tools from this podcast and bring it into your life. So now that I've done the plugs, most people feel that there's something inside of them that's destined for anything other than nothing. Something clawing from inside, waiting to get out. This beast wants to be seen, but not by daylight or by people, but by you and your will to manifest it into being. It wants to devour you and become you. Sometimes this force is dark, but if you have hidden vocations that fill you with energy and then turns to a sigh, that's the force that wants to mate with your heart. It is unrequited love, and the only thing separating you from the embrace is a painful decision. You might think that you can work hard to gain free time and cultivate your vocation into your life. That might be true. What is also true is that the longer you wait, the more painful decisions that separate your heart from the beast of self-expression. Robert Greene tells us the story of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart and his struggle with this very same thing. In the third strategy to finding your life's task, number three, avoiding the false path, the rebellion strategy. In 1760, at the age of four, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart took up the piano under his father's instruction. It was Wolfgang who asked to start lessons at his precocious age. His sister, age seven, had already started on the instrument. Perhaps it was partly out of sibling rivalry that he had taken such initiative, seeing the attention and love that his sister received for her playing and wanting it for himself. I'm just going to take a quick break for a second. If you hear anybody talking in Spanish, I live in an apartment building with paper-thin walls, so please just try to listen to my voice, and I'll do my best to make sure that that's all you hear. Anyway, back to the book. After the first few months of practice, his father, Leopold, a talented player, composer, and teacher himself, could see that Wolfgang was exceptional. Most strange for his age, the boy loved to practice. At night, his parents had to drag him away from the piano. He began to compose his own pieces at the age of five. Talk about overachiever. Soon, Leopold took this prodigy and his sister on the road to perform in all the capitals of Europe. Wolfgang dazzled the royal audience for whom he performed. He played with assurance and could improvise all kinds of clever melodies. He was like a precious toy. The father was now earning a nice income for the family, as more and more courts wanted to see the child genius in action. Man, I couldn't imagine being that talented, getting that kind of praise. I mean, that's kind of like the Macaulay Culkin of the 1700s. It's like 6 years old and just awesome. Then your parents steal your money. As the patriarch of the family, Leopold demanded total obedience from his children, even though it was now young Wolfgang who was essentially supporting them all. Wolfgang willingly submitted. He owed everything to his father. But as he entered adolescence, something else stirred within him. Was it playing the piano that he enjoyed, or simply attracting all of this attention? He felt confused. After so many years composing music, he was finally developing his own style, and yet his father insisted that he focus on writing the more conventional pieces that pleased the royal audiences and brought the family money. So you can see here two different incentives. The city of Salzburg, where they lived, was provincial and bourgeois. In general, he yearned for something else, to be on his own. With each passing year, Wolfgang felt increasingly stifled. Finally, in 1777, the father allowed Wolfgang, now 21, to leave for Paris, accompanied by his mother. There he must try to gain a prominent position as a conductor so that he could continue supporting his family. But Wolfgang did not find Paris to his liking. The jobs he was offered seemed beneath his talents, and then his mother fell ill while there and died on the way back home. Rough trip. The trip was a disaster in all possible ways. Wolfgang returned to Salzburg, chastened, and prepared to submit to his father's will. He accepted a rather uninteresting position as the court organist, but he could not completely suppress his unease. He despaired of spending his life in this mediocre position, writing music to please these petty provincials. At one point, he wrote his father, quote, "I am a composer. I neither can nor ought to bury the talent for composition with which God in his goodness has so richly endowed me," end quote. Leopold reacted to these increasingly frequent complaints of his son with anger, reminding him of the debt he owed him for all the training he had received and all the expenses the father had incurred in their endless travels. That seems a little bit ridiculous considering he was the one holding up the family. But whatever. I suppose you have to honor the father somehow. But like I said, they both had different incentives. And the father obviously not having any sort of real genius compared to Mozart. I mean, who has the genius of Mozart nowadays? Not a lot of people. But there are those high performers that I think about, those super talents. One of those super talents that I think about not all the time, but whenever he comes up, I'm just blown away. And that's Jamie Foxx. The guy is a stand-up comedian. He's a musician. I can't remember where he graduated from, but he's a concert pianist. He's an Academy Award winner. I think he's a Grammy Award winner. And what else has he done? Yeah, well, and all of those are insanely difficult arts in their own right, and he dominated all of them. And the guy's jacked and he's good looking. How do you beat that? Is he Mozart? I don't know about that. But back to the book. Finally, in a flash, it came to Wolfgang. It was never really the piano that was his love, nor even the music per se. He did not enjoy performing before others like a puppet. It was composing that he was destined for. But more than that, he had an intense love for the theater. He wanted to compose operas. That was his true voice. He would never realize this if he remained in Salzburg. It was his father who represented more than an obstacle. He was, in fact, ruining his life, his health, his confidence. It was not just about money. His father was actually jealous of his son's talents. And whether consciously or not, he was trying to stifle his progress. I think this sounds really familiar with a lot of people. Whoever is going to be listening to this, you might have parents that tell you what to do with your life, and you should maybe you do something safe, or you know, do what's in demand. That's one that is like, it's so sinister. And not that they necessarily mean it to be sinister, but it's insidious, because it just, it's like a, what would you say? Like a cancer in the mind, because it's not even so much about doing something safe, but especially when it's safe and available. And you see around you other people doing the same thing. You know, they maybe got a nice car or truck or something like that. And you're like, shit, I want that. And I just, all I want to do is paint pictures, write poetry, make music, do porn. No, I'm kidding. But nonetheless, if you have a dream, your parents do not share your dream. Pretty much guaranteed. And I mean, they can't, obviously. Anyway, no more porn talk. Back to the book. Wolfgang had to take a step, however painful, before it was too late. On a trip to Vienna in 1781, Wolfgang made the fateful decision to stay. He would never return to Salzburg. As if Wolfgang had broken some great taboo, his father could never forgive him for this. His son had abandoned the family. The rift between them would never be repaired. Feeling that he had lost so much time under his father's thumb, Wolfgang composed at a furious pace, his most famous operas and compositions pouring out of him as if he were possessed. A false path in life is generally something we are attracted to for the wrong reasons. Money, fame, attention, and so on. If it is attention we need, we often experience a kind of emptiness inside that we are hoping to fill with the false love of public approval. I'm going to say that again. If it is attention we need, we often experience a kind of emptiness inside that we are hoping to fill with the false love of public approval. And there's an interesting quote from a movie. I believe it's from a movie by Christopher Nolan called The Prestige. And the character, I don't remember the name, but he was played by Christian Bale. And he said to his child, I don't know if it was a girl or a boy either. I have a foggy memory for this, but I remember the quote. It stuck out big time. So the quote was, never tell people your secrets or tell them how you do it. Because if you do that, you're nothing to them. And this loosely relates to what I'm talking about, but in that the love and adulation that you get in the public sphere and when the, you know, the public eye, when people look at you, those public victories, they're so fleeting and they're gone. People have a very short-term memory. And so that's how that quote relates. Because as soon as people know the magic that's within you too, and they see how you do things, that's why Instagram is so captivating too, because you start, if you actually found out that everybody on the other end of that camera is a real person with flaws, and you see all their mistakes in their workout videos, suddenly the magic's gone. And at least it feels like that, especially on this, you know, like for me, when I'm filming, I try to be as perfect as I can. And oftentimes it doesn't go well trying to be perfect. And it's really, really hard to let that go because you're afraid that, at least I am, and I think other people are too, that you're going to be found out. And that's only going to confirm the imposter syndrome. But that imposter syndrome is a different podcast. Anyway, because the field we choose does not correspond with our deepest inclinations, we rarely find the fulfillment that we crave. Our work suffers for this. And the attention we may have gotten in the beginning starts to fade. And it's a painful process. If it is money and comfort that dominate our decisions, we are most often acting out of anxiety and the need to please our parents, which is very, very true. Even if you're doing what you want to do, you can't wait to get the approval. I know I'm not alone in this one. Sometimes I don't even like my parents. And yet there's part of me that I just can't wait either to stick it to them and show them that I did it, or just to see them happy because I did. And it's a bit of both. And considering the context of this podcast, we're talking about rebellion. So we're going to go with the dark side of that a little bit. You need a bit of it. They may steer us towards something lucrative out of care and concern, but lurking underneath this can be something else. Perhaps a bit of envy that we have more freedom than they had when they were young. Your strategy must be twofold. First, to realize as early as possible that you have chosen your career for the wrong reasons before your confidence takes a hit. And second, to actively rebel against those forces that have pushed you away from your true path. Scoff at the need for attention and approval. They will lead you astray. Feel some anger and resentment at the parental forces that want you to foist you upon an alien vocation. It is a healthy part of your development to follow a path independent of your parents and to establish your own identity. Let your sense of rebellion fill you with energy and purpose. If it is the father figure, the Leopold Mozart, that is blocking your path, you must slay him and clear the way. So some quick notes on that. So we'll go into the first strategy that he just said, or the first part of the strategy. Because he said it's twofold. To realize as early as possible that you've chosen your career for the wrong reasons before your confidence takes a hit. So I'll unpack it a bit. How many people do you think are doing the things that they have been told to do by other people? Maybe not even your parents. It could be your brother, your sister, your cousins, your uncles, your friends. I mean, when people give advice so freely. And I know I've done it in the past a lot. I at least ask people now, can I give you some advice? And it usually just shuts me up. And it's surprising and actually kind of nice when people say no. It's, for whatever reason, just relieves everything. Like, no, I'm good. Oh, okay. And usually you can decipher a little bit about a person too when they do that. You're like, oh, they don't have an open mind right now. Or they think you're dumb, and you probably are. I know I've said a million dumb things. But anyway, so you want to find the thing that you want to do, the career you want, because there's nothing worse than doing the wrong thing right and then getting punished for it. And about what I say doing the wrong thing is doing the incorrect career for you, or vocation, occupation, task, anything. Even if you do it right, there'll be a point in time, maybe you have a midlife crisis. I don't know. And then you realize that you've wasted a lot of time. You know, it'd be worse to have a house and a car and kids and debt. In a big ass house than to have a path that is truly yours. Even if it sucks, it's yours. And it's what you chose. And it's what you love to do. But your confidence will take a hit. It's happened to me multiple times. If I can think of all the types of jobs that I've done metalwork. I was a landscape construction foreman. I've talked about that before. I was even a singer in two rock bands. They weren't successful. I did my own solo stuff too. That wasn't very good. I thought that's what I wanted, but it wasn't. What I wanted was attention when I did those. When I did metal work or I was an HVAC technician, all those things, those were jobs that people wanted me to do. It's not what I wanted to do. And when I got fired or laid off or I quit, I almost cried every time because I didn't know what the hell was wrong with me. Now I'm 34 and I'm actually doing what I want to do right now. And that's just helping people in whatever way I can anyway. Secondly, he says to actively rebel against those forces that have pushed you away from your true path. Scoff at the need for attention and approval because they'll lead you astray. So to actively rebel against those forces that have pushed you away from your true path, I think that's going to take some tact, especially depending on your age. And of course, maybe your marital status, because it could be your wife or your husband that wants you to do what you want to do or what they want you to do because it may be paying the bills. It may unbalance the home ecosystem that you have going on. So it would be smart to strategize. You don't want to hope that it goes well. You have to go and say something to your significant other or your parents. And you say, listen, I'm not happy. I'm not doing what I want to do. And I'm scared that I'm going to end up doing this thing, this task, this chore, this menial job for the rest of my life. Now, maybe you have kids and you're like, I don't want to have kids. And you already have kids. Well, you're kind of screwed that way. You might want to embrace that quick. But nonetheless, have some tact, have a strategy. You can't hope it goes well, and you certainly don't want to go and be I think being assertive over angry is going to be more important. And don't allow yourself to be talked out of it. Draw your line in the sand. And it might be a long fight with either your parents or your family or your husband or your wife or whoever, maybe even your kids. You know, I mean, you can even just think about it as like, in just about every way, and just doing what you don't want to do when everybody else wants you to do it, especially if you're not hurting anybody by doing what you want to do. What a drag that is. So we don't want that. But you do want to use that anger and channel it. Have that conversation if you have to. If you're single and you're by yourself, just give it up now as soon as possible. Have an exit strategy. But anyways, thank you very much for listening. This was episode 26, talking about mastery. This was the road to mastery. And this was strategy number 3. Avoid the false path, the rebellion strategy. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram and Facebook, as well as YouTube. You can just search me on YouTube, Hero Bells. Instagram is here at @hero_kbells. Facebook, where you can get all your supplementary material for each episode, is at Hero K Bells. Thank you very much for listening. And I hope you listen next time. Have a good one.